Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, greetings. It's a new season of Animal Instinct, and I'm Celia Kutcher, and I am thrilled to be here at Roberta's in Bushwick. I've got Julia Roberts. Whoops! I don't have Julia Roberts as my guest. Sorry about that, guys.
Would that I were her.
Different show, totally. I have Julia Szabo as my guest. Thank you very much.
Second best, but you know.
Exactly. In this world, she's number one, so this
Thank
is awesome.
You.
We're going to be talking about vegetarianism in animals, and hopefully I'll get her name right again, and we'll see what happens.
But you can call me Julia Roberts any day.
I appreciate that, actually. God, that was awesome. Good way to start off a season. So, Julia, thank you for coming back out to Roberta's. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having me.
How are you
doing?
I love
you. I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. I'm back from Burning Man and surviving, hence the Julia Roberts mess up there. So I will do my best today.
Fried to a crisp at Burning Man.
Exactly. It was a good time, though, so that's okay.
That's great.
So we're going to talk about vegetarianism in animals. And so let's start with number one question. I mean, can all animals be vegetarian?
No, they cannot.
Cool.
I mean, really, all the experts will tell you that cats cannot.
Yeah.
But they're really built to be what's called obligate carnivores.
Yep.
And that means they must. They are obligated to have meat.
Exactly.
So I know of many people who do impose a vegan diet on cats.
Mm.
And I haven't tracked the, you know, the trajectory of their health, but it's, I mean, even PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals,
yeah,
has gone on record saying that it can cause serious health problems if you do that with a cat. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, good. They've been very, you know, good about that. So,
yeah.
So in terms of dogs, as we know, they're omnivores,
yeah,
and so they can.
Yeah, easily.
And many of them, with many dogs, a lot of health issues clear up.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I've been seeing a lot of, actually, lately, in like the past year, of just dogs that have these horrible allergies, and they're allergic to like everything. It's unbelievable. And so out of desperation, people have gone to vegetarian diets, and it's actually worked fantastically well.
Especially things like pumpkin, sweet potato.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And these are examples where, if we look at what our dogs are eating and how it helps them,
mm-hmm,
we can apply that to our own diet.
Totally.
And learn a thing or two.
Totally.
So
let's talk about how you started taking care of your dogs through a vegan diet.
Well, this is a very recent event in my life, because usually I try stuff out on my dogs and then I copy them.
Yeah.
Not to say that I send them into the coal mine first, but usually it just happened that way, that some kind of treatment or remedy or natural thing or high tech thing would happen to them first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would copy it, like the stem cell subject,
yeah,
of my book, Medicine Dog. So in this case, I went vegan, but I was sort of brainwashed to think that dogs really have to have meat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was because of those canine teeth or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And especially because I have a lot of pit bulls and they were bred for the most unfortunate sport of, you know, fighting,
yeah,
each other and ripping other dogs to shreds. So then I sort of thought maybe they had to have meat. And I know that my dogs thrive on beef bones for their teeth,
mm-hmm,
and they love the shedded antlers,
yeah,
as toys. So, you know, it's not always possible, really, to have an entirely vegan lifestyle. But then I thought, well, why can't I just do vegan food? And then I thought, well, but what if I unbalance their diet and then I'm going to have to get vitamins?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I kind of put it off and put it off and put it off. And there are a lot of vegans who are just like me, like, you know, they'll just sort of cringe and get the meat,
exactly,
kibble.
Exactly.
And I was putting all sorts of botanical stuff on it, like, you know, the broccoli stalks,
mm-hmm,
or the, you know, carrot ends or what have you.
Yeah.
Coconut oil all the time.
Yeah.
Anyhow, And then, you know, more and more messages have been coming to me about V-dog food. So it's vegan dog food, and it's soy-free and wheat-free and,
wow,
and free of all that stuff that we don't want, you know, the unbalanced vegan diet.
Totally.
That we don't want.
Totally.
And it's botanical, it's plant powered, and awesomeness. And I know that, you know, my German Shepherd was having, when I adopted her, has it really been 5 years? My God. 5 years ago, she was having all sorts of issues and she was allergic to everything. Mm. And the one thing she loved was sweet potato, like just nude.
Nice.
And she would take it out of the bag. Raw.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course.
And so then I was like, no, you really want me to bake that in the oven?
Seriously.
I think so. And that's when she just had no problems. The poop was perfect. So
wow.
I think this is like, I'm about to dive off the deep end on this and reverse the procedure of, you know, having my dogs follow me this time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see.
Cool. And so when you took your dogs from eating a standard diet to veganism, I mean, how long did you take to do that process?
Well, it's still happening.
Okay.
So I don't actually have the proper answer for that, but certainly if I run out of food, for instance, mm-hmm. you know, it's been a long day and I didn't get to the store, oatmeal is the go-to. Now, okay, it's a carb and it has gluten. All right. But it's so wholesome. They love it.
Yeah.
And I put coconut oil and I spice it up with whatever I have.
Nice.
Shredded carrot, mm-hmm. whatever. And so I guess that's been ongoing for many, many years. That's mm-hmm. been my go-to, and I always have oatmeal in the house. So so I think it's going to be an easy transition. I mean, we can check back in, but I can't imagine.
Like to. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we're also talking like real oatmeal. We're not talking Quaker oats.
Exactly. You know? Not GMO. Yeah. I always use either Bob's Red Mill or some nice thing. Mm-hmm. McCann's, if I'm feeling special. Then you have to cook it extra. But this summer, that was hard because it was heating up the house, you know. So I tried not to run out of dog mm-hmm. food. But even so, the dog food was fish. So it was sort of, they've been pescatarian, if you will,
cool.
for a while.
Cool.
So that kind of happened within the last couple of years.
Here's a question for you, actually. When you were feeding them fish, were you feeding them the bones as well?
Oh, okay, yes. When I used to buy things like sardines for them, absolutely, because the bones are full of calcium.
And they're tiny, great. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I remember at the time when I used to, you know, make meat for them,
mm-hmm.
the chicken bones, once they've been stewed, get so soft that they're okay.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and totally. Also, of course, raw bones are great to chew.
And there's like a fine line with the chicken bones because, like, you know, if you ask someone, the basic question is the only bones that you can feed are raw chicken bones. However, you know, if you roast a chicken and it's only in for an hour, the bones are probably still going to be hard. But if you're like stewing or you're crock potting or something like that where it does break down all the way, then you are able to do it. Like, if you can break the bone with your hands, then it's safe.
Exactly.
So.
And also the big beef soup marrow bones really clean those teeth like nothing else, and they just get obsessed with them.
Yeah, they do.
And it gives them something good to do when you have to go and do a thing in Brooklyn, for instance, you know, so that's good. You know, they're being babysat by a big old bone, and it's, you know, it's still sad. It's not a vegan lifestyle, but, you know, it does polish the teeth.
And it's a solution. I mean, it's the kind of thing where veganism is a really fascinating subject to me, and I am all for it. I think it's great. But what happens with a lot of people, and the carnivores as well, I don't want to just pigeonhole one person, but a lot of times when people take up these diets, it becomes a very black and white thing where it's, you know, I will never use an animal product again, or I will always eat meat until I die kind of thing. So it's a nice, you know, it's a nice way to kind of keep it in mind that if you're vegan a couple days a week, I mean, that's already a huge improvement.
Yes, and that's why people like Beyonce are amazing, because, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people were making fun of her because she was saying, I'm vegan. Of course, I still eat meat. And it's like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But you know what? Instead of shaming people, let's just say, look, this very huge, culturally important celebrity is using the V word mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Yeah.
I mean, so often, you know, there was this funny movie. It was really good. It was called In Order of Disappearance. It was like this sort of gangster movie comedy. It was like a very black comedy in which literally everybody gets bumped off every scene, you know? And the real, like, kingpin a-hole villain mm-hmm. is this, like, tall, blonde, Swedish guy who's a vegan. And they made this big...
No way!
Yeah, they made this big thing about him being vegan. And it's exactly what we talked about on that other show where he and his wife are divorced and they have a little boy. And when the little boy is with him, he's eating, you know, the wife accuses, ex-wife accuses the father of feeding him Fruit Loops, because in, you know, in that language, it's either Swedish or Norwegian. I can't remember. This movie is like a cross between Ingmar Bergman and Quentin Tarantino. Okay. So it's like that. So basically,
awesome.
So he goes, Fruit Loops. I'm not feeding him Fruit Loops. And then the next scene is the kid at the breakfast table. And what box of cereal is right next to him, if not Fruit Loops? So it's like hilarious. And so this is like how people really view vegans,
yeah,
as some kind of villainous weirdo, yeah, like James Bond villain. You know,
yeah,
it's like Blofeld vegan.
Totally.
You know.
Totally.
And so for Beyonce, the most beautiful, sought after, sexiest celebrity to say that she's vegan, even if she's still eating meat. Well, okay, we'll take it.
Yeah, totally.
We'll take it. You know?
Totally. And that's the thing too. I mean, part-time veganism is good for you as well. You know, it's, for example, I went full-time vegan and I work in food, so I know what I'm doing. Sadly, after about a month of it, I gained a lot of weight and I was pretty sick. And so what it turned out for me is that I need a little bit of blood in my food.
Well, you're a type O blood.
Yes, exactly, which, yeah, is the oldest blood type. And so, like, we need this, yeah, you know. And so, but I can eat a small serving of meat twice a week and be okay. It doesn't mean that I have to have bacon at breakfast, you know.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, we talked about this before too, with the fashion, that it's like, if something is a special occasion thing or a luxury thing that only a small portion of the population can afford,
yeah,
or can do or chooses to do, then a lot fewer animals suffer. But when it's like when food becomes this like thing of how big is my, you know, part,
yeah,
you know, it, then it's like, no, then it's like bacon for breakfast, bacon in the chocolate bar, bacon,
exactly,
all the time.
Exactly.
And that's obnoxious and it's bad for everyone's health.
Yeah, it is.
And frankly, this is what's, you know, helping cause obesity, that and all those carbs. So,
mm-hmm,
it's like, no, this was supposed to always be a special occasion thing. It was never supposed to be. If you look back at American history and 19th century and, you know, it was never supposed to be an everyday, three times,
no,
a day thing.
No.
And this thing with, like, who can make a more deluxe burger with foie gras on,
yeah,
it? It's,
yeah,
like, come on.
Yeah.
That's not what even a burger was supposed to be. So now the vegan burger is more in line with what the burger was. It was supposed,
totally,
to be a modest thing.
Totally.
And a treat at,
yeah,
the same time. So, so yeah, it's like twice a week, and since you have to, and it's, and there's always eggs, you know.
Exactly, you know,
so,
and I eat, you know,
sardines. Yeah,
I eat Heritage Farm meat, or
exactly,
Heritage Foods, which is, you know, some of the best on the market, and it's very, very clean, and it's small farm and all that. I do my best to stay away from factory farms, but, you know, once in a while, you will crack. But honestly, I can feel it. It doesn't taste as good. I don't enjoy it. So I would rather have really high quality meat where I know the animals aren't being tortured and, you know, all that kind of thing.
And it goes both ways too, because look, here we are on this radio show sponsored by Heritage.
Exactly.
And they're letting me talk about veganism.
Exactly.
With you. So I think that's sane and rational and wonderful.
And they're
so
cool. I had,
yeah,
them on the show once and we talked about veganism and they're not anti-vegan. You,
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
You have to have, when it's these kind of topics, it's kind of like politics. You,
yeah,
kind of have to keep your mind open and,
yeah,
you know, accept other people's
bipartisan
opinion.
Or bipartisan. Bipartisan, because we're talking about pets. But yeah, absolutely. And honestly, vegetables help you digest all that meat. If,
totally,
you eat that meat without veggies,
ugh,
ouch. That's going to be a constipation scene.
Seriously, it's going to be a bad scene.
Yeah. So.
Well, here's a question for you. I mean, when you're switching a dog over to a vegan diet like you were doing, how is it in terms of price point? Are you saving money? Is it more expensive than, like, traditional foods? I mean,
that's
obviously, if you're
question.
Buying Purina.
I'm actually still working that out. That's a really good question. I think it's going to be less expensive, to,
mm-hmm,
be honest,
mm-hmm,
because I have a feeling it will. Also, because then I'm going to, when I run out, I'm going to be more inclined to, you know, save all those scraps of veggies.
Yeah, yeah.
To mix in with the oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the long run, I mean, I will check back with you, but I really think it'll be comparable or less.
Yeah. And so, like, what's a typical dinner for your dogs?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be this V-Dog. Right,
really?
Now.
Cool.
Right now. I mean, this literally is like the revelation of today. Almost.
I mean,
it literally is today.
This.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm surprising you, but this is sort of like the,
you're really, how dare
amazing
you?
Amazing grace. This is like my Amazing Grace moment where I realize that my dogs can do what I'm doing instead of me only doing what they do.
Yeah.
So yeah, so, it's going to be, I'm going to check out that V-Dog food. because it looks incredible from what I've read.
I mean, this
seen.
Is you telling me about it was the first I've heard about this food. And I think it's a really good idea as long as the quality of everything is high. And it sounds like it's really good.
Yeah. So. And I'm coming here on the subway. I ran into a beautiful young woman with radiant skin. She was carrying her little dog. And I photographed her for the blog, as I always do, multitask. And she proudly said, he's vegan, too. And I said, what does he eat? And she said, V-dog
wow,
food.
Wow.
It was one of those things. It was. But this is the way this whole project has been going for me, honestly.
Good.
Like, I turn a corner and I meet somebody who's vegan who wants to be in my book.
Awesome.
Who's a supermodel. I mean, okay. Thank you so much. There is a goddess. And she likes me today, this
Perfect.
Week. So I'm very grateful.
Cool. Cool. Well, we need to take a quick break for station identification, but we will be back in about a minute, minute and a half to continue the conversation.
Listening to Sabobo by Mamarazzi. This is Animal Instinct on heritageradionetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
We are back. I'm talking to Julia Zabo all about vegetarianism and animals, and specifically for pets. One thing that I want to talk about is that we're not talking about wild animals, okay? We're talking about, like, domesticated ones that you can take care of. Like, we don't want to make lions vegans.
It's no, my not... lion, I'll only, you know, just kidding.
But my lion likes lollipops. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're talking about domesticated animals, basically dogs. As we said before, cats cannot be vegans. You can try, but it's not fair to them. When animals kill, it's not a moral issue. They're killing because they're hungry, and this is what they've been programmed to eat.
But what about the big mammals, the biggest mammals in the animal kingdom?
Let's talk about
it. Yeah.
We're talking elephants. We're talking rhinos.
No, it's hippopotami.
Which are nasty things, man. Those things are evil.
Well, that's what pigs would be if they weren't so docile. They'd fight back.
God,
they wouldn't let
imagine?
Us kill them for bacon. Yeah. So there's hippopotamus, gorilla.
Mm.
Buffalo, and who did I leave out?
Elephant.
Vegans. They're all herbivores.
That's very cool.
And look how big and muscular and imposing and thundering and mm-hmm. ponderous and wonderful they are. And all those bodybuilders who say, "Oh no, I got to have my protein. I got to eat my meat to be big."
Yeah.
Well, huh? Who's bigger than them?
True.
I mean, it's like one time I interviewed those wonderful Russian artists, Komar and Melamed, and they were working with an elephant, like, to create paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them said on the phone, "Elephant is greatest artist in world." And it was great because it was like, he talked exactly like that. And it's true. Elephant is greatest artist and also is greatest power lifter, I dare say.
Yeah, totally.
And eats grass and other twiggy things. Totally vegan, herbivore, amazing.
It's the same. There's a sumo wrestler who's really famous, who I don't know his name, but he's vegan. And basically, like, sumo wrestlers gain all their weight on rice. So it's like, you know, these grasses and these grains do have nutrients in them. If they didn't, these animals wouldn't exist.
And look on Instagram and look at some of the not only hottest guys, but most athletic. There's David Carter, who's the football star.
Mm.
And there's Torrey Washington, T-O-R-R-E Washington. And he's a powerlifter.
He's vegan?
He's vegan.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's gorgeous too. He has these long dreadlocks.
He
liked the post.
Yay!
I put about Instagram. So these people are really, and there are many, many more. I mean, these just are the ones that pop into mind.
Yeah.
But you do not really need. It's not a necessity. Build muscle. It's more about working out and doing the. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger never complained about going to practice and work out. Like, he used to even say years and years ago, you know, oh, everybody else complains about having to go to the gym, and I always say I can't wait.
Yeah,
because that's going to get me closer, one step closer to Mr. Olympia. See, that's the attitude.
It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
Really is.
And look at him now.
So I want to talk to you because I know you know about this. Like, these large species animals that we just talked about of, you know, elephants, gorillas, hippopotamus, and
buffalo.
What do these guys eat when they're in the zoo?
That's a problem because, you know, they eat these kind of pelleted things that end up being just like any kibble does, even if it's meat, a carby thing. It ends up being a starchy, carby thing. And then they end up developing diabetes. They have much, much shorter lives in zoos. I mean, it's really, you know, we've been brainwashed to think that it's conservation, just like with SeaWorld.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
And we all know now that the whales and the dolphins live much longer in the wild.
Yeah.
And SeaWorld is still trying to tell us that they live, you know, much longer in a bathtub at SeaWorld.
They and just had a huge new campaign, actually, that's starting out. So don't fall for it, people.
Yeah, they hired a major, major fixer. She's like an incredible damage control, what do you call it, crisis management PR specialist. And please don't believe it. SeaWorld is a tragedy.
Yeah.
I actually do. I have to stop thinking about it right now because I'll start crying. It really upsets me.
I can't handle it. Like, Blackfish couldn't do it.
Well, Blackfish is a masterpiece. I saw it for you. I saw it twice.
You.
So
Thank
I saw
you.
It for me and for you. And it's one of the greatest masterpieces, and the fact that it wasn't even nominated for an Oscar
really
made me so disappointed in the Oscars, because there's an actual movie, a work of art that went out and did a lot of good and changed a lot of minds. But okay, don't nominate it.
No,
be that way.
So when these animals are at zoos, I mean, it's like, you know, if a horse is eating grass, okay, and horse people, bear with me, okay, it's been a while. If they're just eating grass and no grain, they're probably going to be eating about a bale of hay a day, okay, and that's a horse. So, like, an elephant's got to be eating at least 2 or 3 bales of hay, and it's dried grass, which isn't what their diet is used to.
Right.
But, you know, I've been to a bunch of different zoos, and I've never seen, like, a lovely, like, field anywhere for these animals to graze.
Wow.
So they're being fed, like, I'm assuming it's, like, hay pellets and alfalfa pellets and that kind of stuff.
Kind of, yeah.
But it's, you know, I feel kind of bad for them because it's the same way I feel when people feed their pets the exact same brand of food or the exact same flavor every day. It's like, this is a highlight of your day. It's eating. And it's oh, look, more pots.
Cardboard again.
Totally. Yay. I'm so lucky. Oh, my God.
I know. And already we're denying them sex because we've neutered and spayed them. And now we deny them the sensual pleasure of a variety of diet food.
And people get pissed.
I know.
They were like, I've been feeding my dog this for 2 years, and today he doesn't
want it. Oh, I know.
It really
becomes like a real moral outrage point. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, back with the peppering your dog's food with veggies, they love sweet potato and pumpkin.
Yeah, they do.
And that's something you can always get. You can get canned organic pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
You can get sweet potatoes pretty much anywhere, and you pop them in the oven, you know, score them a little, and they come out so sweet. My dogs actually sit up and beg for the sweet potato. Yeah.
That's wild.
Like, as if it would be meat.
So, I mean, this is something, too, where if you are feeding, you know, some standard kibble and you're like, I'm going to make my dog vegan tonight. If you, like, make this great vegetarian meal for your pet, one, you're going to have digestive upset big time, okay, because their system isn't ready for this. Two, they may not like it. I mean, they may be like, what the hell is this? I don't recognize this, because they're not recognizing it as food. So, like, when you first started, were you adding veg into the kibble and doing that kind of thing, or adding it into the regular food?
Well, yeah, and that, and also, you know, like, Nordic Naturals fish oil is really helpful. Yeah, it is really good, especially I have a chow mix who had a fractured leg before I got him. And I made the choice not to re-break the leg.
Oh, God.
Because how would I lift him?
Yeah,
he's
seriously.
Like 55 pounds, and maybe that was selfish of me. But so he has a little bit of a limp, but he gets along fine. But I always take care to give him that because it helps him.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to see how I would segue away from that. Maybe maybe flax oil or, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Extra coconut oil. He already gets it. But that's one way to do it, because then you can, you know, get them interested. And honestly, though, you know, if they're going to be hungry, they're going to eat.
Yeah.
I mean, they might go on strike for a day, but they're going to eat eventually.
Well, that's the thing. Like, dogs can go on strike. Cats can't. Okay. So, like, if you've decided you want to feed your cat something and your cat's like, I'm not eating this, screw you. You can't. I mean, in theory, you can. You can just keep putting the food out every day until the cat finally cracks and eats it if they do. But cats will go into anorexia within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And if this happens, you're looking at, like, they're not going to start eating again. You have to bring them to the vet. They may have to go on an IV. I mean, it's grisly. This is not, it's expensive. You don't want to do this.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't play
so
with this. Yeah.
You can't. You really can't. But dogs can go hungry. Dogs can go, you know, a day or two. I wouldn't go past two. I think that's probably pushing it. But, you know, it's... Dogs and cats are, you know, they're our favorite animals in the U.S., and, like, we love them and all over the world, and we have these things as pets, but they're not the same thing by any stretch of the imagination, and we need to keep the rules for each of them separate and respect both of their needs, because, I mean, like I said, when a cat kills, it's not like, I'm going to kill it. It's, I'm hungry.
It's not exactly.
Like,
it's
I
not
hate
sport.
That goddamn mouse.
It's not
no.
that guy. It's not that dentist who killed Cecil the lion. But yeah, and then also a couple of other favorite pets, of course, are rabbits and birds. And
they're perfect
they're
for
herbivores.
Vegans. Totally.
Yeah.
That's perfect,
yeah.
You know, and they're great, great animals, too. So it's the type of thing where, you know.
But even they will be picky about which veggies and fruits they like.
I was actually going to ask you that. One of my questions for you was I had this bird, and she was cool. She was awesome. But this bird would only eat corn and, like, the medley, you know, the corn, broccoli, or whatever. It's corn.
She was brainwashed by
carrots,
Monsanto.
Pea medley. That was it. You know, so trying to get her, like, birds are tough when you try new things on them. It's not usually like you put something, like, oh, my God, this is great. They have to, like, stare at it for a couple of days, make sure it's not going to eat them, you know, that kind of thing. But so when you're with a picky animal, like, do you have any tips?
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. It's like, especially with my chow, who really is not a vegetarian type, you know, the Nordic Naturals helps a lot, because already I've been using that on the fish to supplement the fish kibble. So I know that's going to help. And I honestly, or sardines, just open a can of sardines.
Mm-hmm.
They love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually good for them.
Yeah, it's really good for them. And then one thing also to consider, if you're thinking about this and you're transitioning a pet to veganism or vegetarianism, you need to remember the calorie load as well. Because meat is super dense in calories. So, like, you know, if you're used to seeing a cup of food in your dog's bowl, like, a cup of oatmeal ain't going to do it. They're going to be freaking starving.
True.
So how do you account for that?
Well, again, that's part of the stress of making dogs food.
Yeah.
That's the part where I'm like, okay, I'm already struggling to make the rent. So if I have to also make the dogs food every
totally.
Day, I'll kill myself. So to come across this V dog food is such a blessing and a mitzvah, and I just can't wait to dive in there. So.
And where did you find it?
I totally found it on Instagram, where I find everything. Instagram is life itself. I don't know what I did without it or before it. I, you know, B-I before Instagram. I don't know. I really don't know. But yeah, and like I said, I find that, and then I Instagrammed us on it, and then on the subway here, I meet this woman who's feeding her dog V-dog food.
It sounds like, it's a great idea, and I'm hoping. And I'm assuming that the people that are doing it are responsible, because it is, whenever you do a new dog food in the industry, It's an interesting thing because there are very specific rules and then there are no rules at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So like the classification of meat for dog food used to be 4D. I'm not sure if they've changed that yet.
Right.
And what that stands for is dead, diseased, dying, and dismembered.
Yeah.
So these are all legal for pet food, you know? So like people that are feeding like the really cheap brands like Pedigree, for example, you didn't hear it here. Your pets are going to get sick.
Exactly.
Your pets are going to get sick. And there have been recalls. I've been following recalls the past year, and there have been recalls and recalls and recalls and recalls and recalls on the cheaper foods. And I've seen it 100 times. I mean, it's the same as,
plus,
you know.
Plus, it's full of chemical colorants, which we know to be causing cancer. They're carcinogens. But, and it's like, the other great thing, too, is that a lot of the existing vegan foods are soy-based, like Natural Balance. I actually like Natural Balance food.
I do, too.
And the fish one is excellent. The dogs love it. They thrive on it. But the, you know, I staved off from buying the vegan one because it's soy.
Yeah. What do you think of soy for animals? I don't know that much about it.
I don't think it's a good thing.
Cool.
I really don't think it's a good thing. So so there's that. And also a lot of it is GMO. I mean, I would be hard pressed to believe that something so inexpensive as Natural Balance is
going
to use GMO.
No, kidding.
I mean, non-GMO soy. So so the fact that this dog food doesn't have soy, in addition to not having wheat, it's huge.
Yeah, that really is.
That means they really. And you know, also beets, for instance.
Yeah.
Beets are great. I mean, then you have to worry sometimes about the sweetness factor, but beets are wonderful. And, you know, all those greens. I think, I'll let you know, but I'm really excited. I'm really psyched.
I think it's really cool. And I mean, for people that, you know, are hearing this for the first time and have some curiosity on it, what is a good internet search to find someone legit? You know, like, don't fall for all blog posts on this one, because this is important, you know. And honestly, veterinarians, I love veterinarians. Okay. They're good people. They're doing the work of, I mean, they're saints, really.
It's true.
But they're so busy learning techniques and processes and surgeries and things like this, that they really don't get a lot of nutritional training. And the nutritional training that they tend to get is from dog food companies that are trying to sell their prescription products to them.
Like Science Diet.
Exactly. One of my favorites. not so much. Anyway, you know, so it's important to really find information from people that really know what they're talking about. And, you know, there's 100 million blog posts on this. So if you're looking in blogs, you need to make sure that whoever's you're reading has some kind of background in there, some kind of something that's like, all right, I understand this person. But that being said, is there any sites that you love?
Your site.
Oh, thanks.
I love foodhealer.com.
Thanks.
And I'm still puzzling that one out, because so many people, as we know, so many high profile people in the pet industry are in the pockets of some company or other that is not necessarily the most scrupulous, which is one reason why I'm kind of transitioning away from that and back to fashion, because I was just knocking my head on a brick wall and, you know, was starting to scar my forehead.
It's an interesting industry, to say the least. Yeah, it's a tough one, you know? I mean, there's the Pitcairn book by Dr. Pitcairn is fantastic.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
I love
him. That's true. That's
genius.
I forgot. Yeah, okay, so he's great.
He's
great. That book, and that should just be on your shelf anyway, because it's like porn. It's great. It's health porn.
Yeah, exactly.
If there is such a thing.
I'm trying to remember the title of it. It's something like Natural...
No, it's like Dr. Pitcairn's
Natural Book for Dogs and Cats.
Yeah, something
like that. Yeah, it's nothing. It's not like, you know... Dogs,
but it starts with Dr. Pitcairn.
Yeah,
so
it's
that's easy
book.
To find.
Normally, it used to be the copy I have is a white book with a dog and a cat on it. However, this really is an industry standard. Dr. Harvey makes a fantastic food that's a vegetarian base.
That is a very good food.
It's expensive, but it's amazing.
It is, yeah. And you mix it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love him. He was on our show, so if anybody has any questions regarding his food, you can watch that episode.
Oh, what about Honest Kitchen?
I like Honest Kitchen a lot.
Okay,
I really, really do.
They
I
have
think
a
they're
veggie
good
one,
people.
Right?
They have a veggie base that you can add other stuff into, but the veggie bases make life pretty damn easy.
Okay.
But a lot of times the veggie bases are also just little tiny dehydrated. And this is no disrespect to anyone I just mentioned, and please don't kill me for saying this. But the vegetables a lot of times remind me of like the vegetables in Cup of Noodles.
Yes.
Because they're so dehydrated.
Or
you know?
The fruits in granola.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Or cereal, Cascadian Farm. Yeah,
I mean, honestly, if you can make it yourself, it's going to be cheaper. It's, if you're in New York, I know, we don't cook. I know. We do Vitamix.
But actually, you know, especially for older dogs who maybe have lost some teeth, lapping up Vitamix food, that would be kind of such a special treat.
Yeah,
they
would
feel so happy.
It would.
Especially also if they're sick or they had dental work.
Mm-hmm.
So that Vitamix could be put to a lot of good use.
It's true. And it's, you know, it's a good little machine. And if you do, you know, if you're concerned about your health or your pets, I mean, Vitamix is a damn good blender, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can pulverize a brick in it. So,
and honestly, if you want to be pescatarian, okay, not meat but fish.
Yeah.
Canidae is still
awesome
food.
That's right.
It's really, that was what I've been doing. Natural Bounce was sort of like if they were out of Canidae at store. But Canidae is wonderful, and they have this like salmon kind of thing.
Totally.
Again, I don't know if it's farm raised or wild caught, but the dogs were thriving on it.
And that's really what counts. I mean, it's really important that when you switch your animal onto a certain diet that you really observe them. And, you know, is their coat clean? Is their coat greasy? Do they have dandruff? Or do they stink? You know, are
the stink factor, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's something that coconut oil fixes, honestly. When my chow first came to me on the transport from Texas, he, you know, was a wreck. He was a mess. But there was no time and no ability to take him to the groomer. Because at the time I lived in the Bronx and it was a long story. But I began the oral administration of coconut oil and he smelled better from inside.
Wow.
It deodorizes. It's so antioxidant that it actually not only, you know, emolliates the skin and coat, but it actually deodorizes them and cleans up their mouth, their teeth.
So and that's crucial, too. I mean, if you're going to a vegan diet, you're pulling all the fats out of your animal's meal. And they need fat. I mean, fat is, fat closes the colon, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, that's a big one, so you don't have diarrhea everywhere.
That's right.
Fat is also what feeds our brains. Mm-hmm. So, like, a no-fat diet, it will make you stupid over time and your pets. It's bad.
You want demented dogs. But, yeah,
the worst.
But the coconut oil, that's the answer to your previous question, is I've been giving coconut oil for years
now.
Yeah,
you have.
And I don't know what I would do. That's like Instagram. Right up there with Instagram, coconut oil. And neem oil. And neem oil. Although you don't eat neem oil, you topically apply. But coconut oil, my God, better than, well,
it works,
anything.
Man. It really does. And then last question, because we're running out of time. What do you prefer, a cooked or a raw diet?
That's such a good question.
And it's a big one.
I myself cannot really handle a raw diet because of my issues. So maybe I'm projecting onto my dogs, but I have noticed that if they eat raw veggies, I get it like unprocessed in the poop.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So if the carrots and celery were in any way altered, just steamed for a flash second, it changes everything.
Interesting.
Including like apples. I will not give them raw apples.
Mm-hmm.
I will bake the apples and give them some of mine.
Nice.
Because I just, with all my gastrointestinal issues, I mean, I try to eat salad as much as I can, especially with avocado. That helps bind it.
Yeah.
But I can't go on raw vegan.
It's a tough one, and it's interesting. When I was in nutrition school, one of the things we discussed was a Japanese way of eating, which is like you don't eat raw vegetables. You just don't. You have to treat them. And you're right. I mean, you know, you
see, I just don't want to poop that much because of my, you know, I mean, I'm lucky now that the stem cells help me, but I don't want to play with a Russian roulette with my gut.
Mm-mm.
And I want to end up with, you know, busting that open again
and
running to the toilet.
I mean, if you have a dog that's like, oh my God, that's the last thing you want, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's bad for them too because they want to be house trained. They don't want to soil your apartment. But if you got to go, you got to go. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
I mean, and I know that feeling better than anyone.
What's the worst?
Yeah.
It's totally the worst.
We ended up on fecal matter. Sorry. FM radio.
It happens. It happens. Man, well, we are almost out of time, which I hate because I love talking to you. It's always a good conversation.
Back
it's always
at
a lot
you.
Of fun, man.
Back at you.
So let's give these guys foods that we like. The new vegan food is V-Dog.
V-Dog food. It's, you see it on Instagram at V-Dog food. And see Food Healer. No, see Brooklyn Celia. BKLYN Celia.
I'm
on Instagram
there.
Right.
That's kind of my secret site, so you can peek more into my life.
Maybe I shouldn't have.
It's all good.
Sorry.
There's nothing nasty on there. But
well,
it's
go
more
to mine.
My
get dressed, change the world.
Yep. And Julia is doing a bunch of books on veganism, vegetarianism, and fashion. She actually did a couple episodes last season. So if you're interested in what she's doing, go to the Animal Instinct page on Heritage Radio Network and find the past episodes. They're also on iTunes and Stitcher, and they're fascinating. Actually, they're very, very cool. And it's nice to see that we've got other options besides, you know, in fashion, besides dead animals on our backs. So
yeah, because it's one thing to eat them, but it's, I mean, you don't need to wear them. It's very primitive.
Well, especially for animals that you don't eat. You know, like my cheetah coat. Like, that's horrible.
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
You know? It is terrible. You know, Oleg Cassini was the one responsible for that, but he...
Really?
He had an amazing grace moment, and he said he was sorry, and he regretted it, and he is anti-fur now.
Wow.
Yeah. Good. So you see that it's anything's possible in this world.
And education helps.
Yeah, and it's, you know what? It's not weird or wimpy or pansy-like to be vegan or to love animals. Let me just say, all these tough, big, beautifully muscular guys like Tori Washington, like David Carter, they love animals, okay? It doesn't make them less of an athlete, less of a man. If anything, it makes them more of a man. So let's just remember this, kids, okay?
Totally.
Being a vegan does not mean being some, you know, wimpy, anemic,
totally, like, wet little
sickly
thing.
Yeah. thing that you would want to kick out of bed. At quite the contrary. And their poop smells good too. So
hey.
Not good, but it doesn't smell as bad as certain diets.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, on that happy note.
FM radio.
Yay. I want to say thank you to all my listeners. I really, really appreciate you guys. And because of you guys, this is what I do. If you like the show, you can do me a favor and help me out by leaving a nice review or a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Heritage Radio's page, Food Healer's page, wherever you like. We will be back next week with a brand new show. Julia, thank you so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure to drag you out here to Roberta's and have some pizza with you.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.